now joining us. Thanks for this, Mark. Yeah, we're still reveling at what DK Metcalf pulled off last night.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, that was pretty special, right? And, of course, people, as you guys were just saying, I'll talk about it the rest of the year and probably the rest of his career. And that's just a perfect example when you talk about 40 times versus field speed, where DK had the 4.31 40 time, but he also shows you that right there on the football field. So that was the perfect illustration of someone having both of those things.
Okay, Mark, though, but back in the day at Princeton, you would have done the same thing, right?
Of course. Oh, yeah, I ran some people down in high school. So we just ran the ball when I was in college at Princeton all the time, so I didn't have to chase anybody. It's like three balls up in the air, but high school, I definitely ran some people down.
It's crazy that, like, still thinking about it, DK Metcalf, you watch him now and just the sheer physical attributes and even what he did at the combine, and I'm wondering, you know, just how he ended up falling so far in the draft to the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, well, he definitely – the one thing that a lot of people don't see, the behind the scenes, there's certain things or character issues. He had some medical issues that people were scared off about. So that might have taken – so each player gets graded by a medical staff, just like in school. You get an A, B, C, D. You know, there's no player that are really A's just because everyone has some injuries. So, you know, DK had that neck thing. So a lot of teams may have taken him off the board. Okay, so that knocks off a bunch of teams, or say these teams say we can't take him in the first round because of this issue. So that pushed him down. And then there were definitely, just to be quite honest, you know, DK was kind of a straight line guy. He didn't run a lot of routes there at Ole Miss. They kind of just lined him up. And A.J. Brown, who's with the Tennessee, who's doing well, he kind of worked the inside. So he did a lot of limited things as far as his routes, which people got scared off of. When he went to the combine and he had that very poor three-cone drill, some people take a lot of stock in that. Some people don't. So the three-cone drill, for people who don't know, that measures your change of direction, supposedly, but it doesn't always correlate to what you do on the field. So those two things, kind of the injury along with the limited route, and then with the three-cone going in with, well, can this guy really run routes? It kind of scared some people off. He went to the perfect situation in Seattle where that you see the way they use him to his strengths, and he's really blossomed.
Absolutely. Seattle fans love the fact that he fell to them, but, you know, they lose yesterday in that thriller of a game. They have the front runner for MVP in Russell Wilson, but how big of a problem is that defense, Mark?
Just get used to those games. What, you know, every game, but we see Seattle in this type of last minute situations where they have to create miracles on offense, and I think you're just going to see this the rest of the year. Just get used to that, and usually Russ pulls off these games at the end. He did last night, but the touchdown got called back, you know, the DK Metcalf swing that they threw there to him. So the defense doesn't rush the passer well. They don't stop the run well. They don't cover very well. So that's a bad combination on the defense. So for you Seahawks fans, just get used to Russ's heroics coming out to the end, especially against the better teams. You know, they'll beat the lesser teams fairly handily, but against the better teams, you get to the playoffs, they're going to have to win in shootouts.
Yeah, it's crazy, like, how the identity has changed, Mark, from, you know, the Legion of Doom and what they were when they won the Super Bowl and where they are now, and just completely flipping the script. And it's great seeing Russ pull off miracles, but, you know, they have to find a way. Do you think there's something out there at the trade deadline, a pass rusher of some sort that maybe at least gives them a little bit more? Because right now they're not getting anything out of that defense.
Yep, unfortunately, you know, the Ngakoue, who just got traded from Minnesota, that might have been the ideal fit if they could have found a way to get him. But he goes to the Ravens, goes home to the Ravens, but besides that, you know, unless there's just some super surprise under the radar type situation that they're working on, there really isn't many people out there who would have that impact. So I think this is just the new normal for Seattle, and enjoy Russ's brilliance while you can. Russ and DK and Tyler Lockett, let's not forget him, and just enjoy the ride for however long it goes.
Yeah, Lockett was incredible last night. Mark Ross, NFL Network analyst, two-time Super Bowl champion, joining us here on Reach Deep. So the Seahawks were in on Antonio Brown, at least we were led to believe there was some interest there. The Buccaneers end up signing Antonio Brown, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, the Bucs are really coming together here, Mark, and you know, there's a lot of question marks around Antonio Brown with everything that's gone on off the field, and even what happened, you know, in his exit from Pittsburgh and his exit from Oakland. It's always a balance of talent versus personality, but do you like this move for the Buccaneers?
No, I really don't, because they are rolling so well, and they have, you know, the Godwins and Evans, where they have a lot of talent there already. This just shows you, and don't forget Antonio Brown with the Patriots as well, where he left town there. So it's rare you see a player that changes teams so often, and especially the amount of issues and the variance in issues that Antonio Brown has had. We won't get into all those issues, but it's not just one thing that's getting him run out of these teams or teams don't want him back. It's different things at each step of the way. But what it shows you down there at Tampa Bay is that who's running that team, and it's Tom Brady, not the GM Jason Light, not Bruce Arians, who already publicly came out and said he does not want Antonio Brown. He didn't mince any words when he said that before. So Tom Brady wanted him. Tom Brady got him, and this is all about we have to maximize everything possible for Tom Brady this year to win a Super Bowl, and whatever he wants, he's going to get to make sure that we do that.
The Bucs, it's really amazing how they've come together so quickly and how good Brady is looking in this offense already. But really, their defense is what sets them apart. And when we look at the NFC, we look at the top teams, the Seahawks, and now the Bucs are there. The Saints have kind of been up and down. Are the Bucs the best team in the NFC for you?
Wow. I'm going to still go – you mentioned the defense with Tampa Bay, and they've got some players on the defense, and that's what helps them with JPP, former Giant there, and Shaq Barrett and Devin White and Levante David. It looks like he's had a renaissance and reemergence in his career. So they do have a lot of playmakers on defense, so they could throw that at you. I'm still go with the Seahawks. I'm going to still go with Ruzzy, even though the concerns about the defense, like I said, I think if they actually got into the actual shootout there, that they could outgun the Bucks. So Green Bay's still in the mix with Aaron Rodgers playing at his level. You know, they had a hiccup last week, but they rebounded really strong this week and showed you that they're formidable. So I think it will come down to Seattle, Green Bay, Tampa, and New Orleans as well, especially if they get home field advantage.
All right, let's go from the best in the NFC to now the worst in the NFC. The Cowboys lost, but it was the way that they lost, Mark. Do they look like a team that's checked out already?
Oh, without a doubt. They looked like that last week. And it just seems like since the Dak injury that it was just over with. And then as soon as that happened, you know, that when you have your franchise quarterback who kind of carries a team, he covers up a lot of flaws. And the Cowboys were severely flawed, and they were losing games even with Dak at historical rate as far as what he was doing. So then he gets hurt, and I think they just – completely misjudged Andy Dalton, what he was capable of doing. The Cincinnati Bengals had the number one pick last year with Andy Dalton for a reason. It wasn't because he was playing well, it was because he was playing poorly. So Dallas now just looks as if, you know, they play wide. It wasn't as if they played the Ravens. It wasn't as if they played the Saints. They played the Washington football team, who is also one of the worst teams in the league, and they got embarrassed. So there's no excuses there for that to happen. When you can say, okay, well, we were just completely outclassed with talent and we got blown out. But they got blown out by another bad team who was vying for the first pick in the draft. So that shows you that there's some serious concerns, cracks in the talent level, number one, but also in the lack of trust and belief in the coaching. You know, the ownership came out today and said they believe in Mike McCarthy, but I don't know if the players do, and that's who really matters. And this could get a lot worse going forward.
I know it's been a tough couple of weeks for Cam Newton, and he got benched yesterday. But I find it hard pointing the finger just at him, Mark. I mean, the Patriots, they've been kind of going this way for the last couple of years with not a ton of explosiveness on offense. Cam Newton has to be better, but at the same time, we can't really expect much out of this Patriots offense, even if Cam Newton is clicking.
100%. You know, Cam looked good early on, and he carried a team for their two wins that they had. But you know, people just think, okay, you get the COVID, and you just recover, and everybody's fine. There might be something seriously wrong still with Cam Newton, that for him to look so different between the pre-COVID and coming back, and everybody just assumes he's Cam, he'll be fine. And I did that as well. But you know, this really affects people in different ways. So you know, there's a running back down at Jacksonville who's still in the hospital from it for a couple months now, Armstead. So it could really be affecting him, and we just don't know the effect it's really having on his body. But yes, you mentioned that the Patriots have not really put anything around. It shows you the greatness of Tom Brady and what he was covering. I talked about great players and quarterbacks covering up the flaws of the team and raising the level of the team. And Tom Brady did that for so many years. And, you know, last year he had a little bit of a down year, but you got Edelman's not playing very well. Their first round pick, Harry, is not playing well. They don't, the running backs, they always had the running back of committee, and that's all well and good when Brady's running the show. But when you don't have much else and the offensive line is struggling, I think all those flaws are really showing with the Patriots right now. And it's going to take Cam getting back to the Cam level MVP type of performance to raise that offense up. And if not, you'll see more performances like yesterday.
You're listening to Reach Deeper, joined by the NFL Network's Mark Ross. Mark, trade speculation is heating up around Matt Ryan. Atlanta's down and out. They find new ways to lose every week. If you're Atlanta, do you consider this move? Do you move off of Matt Ryan at this point?
Well, you would want to, but you don't know how much they can and how invested the ownership is in Matt Ryan. That's what always comes down to with a franchise quarterback and how much the owner wants to keep them around and how much the owner lets personal feelings get in the way of keeping a player, as opposed to saying, you know what, we've gone as far as we can with Matt Ryan, we have to move on. And Arthur Blank said that a couple weeks ago. But we'll see what happens when it really goes down to it. But, yes, you have to look at, just as I mentioned, Andy Dalton, just look at Matt Ryan's track record. I have a lot of friends down in Atlanta who just are completely upset about every week. I mean, they're just distraught because, as you said, they find new ways to lose. And I'm watching that game, and it's like, they can't lose this, they can't lose this. And even Todd Gurley makes a mistake and scores. You just knew that Detroit was going to go down the field and score them. You just knew it was going to happen, no matter what went down. So, yeah, I think Atlanta as a whole, the organization needs a reset. They might be right there at the top pick for Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence. They'll be right. Both of those guys are from Atlanta, so that'd be a perfect situation for them. So, yeah, once an organization gets to this point, it's kind of time to start over.
Did Todd Gurley never see the Brian Westbrook, you know, pulling up before the goal line? You know, sometimes it's just not the right move to score a touchdown. But
yeah, well, actually, Todd, a couple years ago, he saved a couple games by doing what he was supposed to do, where he stopped short of the goal line. So if you would have said, hey, which running back would know what to do here, it would be Todd Gurley. And you'd say he would know the fall down. Similar thing happened to us in our second Super Bowl when Ahmad Bradshaw, where we just ran and he fell down, we could have kicked the field goal and beat the Patriots. But I don't know if you remember where he inched towards the goal line and he fell right and sat on his butt that crossed the end zone. The Patriots got the ball back. Fortunately, we stopped them, but they still, you know, Brady put up a Hail Mary throw into the end zone that almost got tipped and caught. So, yeah, we experienced the same thing with Ahmad.
I bet your heart was in your throat for a couple of minutes there.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Nothing like it.
Mark, we really appreciate your time. This has been awesome. Thank you. We'll talk again soon.
Great. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.